Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon, everyone that have called in to the broadcast. We want to again thank you for calling in, and I know someone's texted said they can't hear. So I want to ask, Brother David, are you able to check your lines to make sure it's not muted?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Praise
can
the
you
Lord.
Hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. I'm going to release the line back to you.
Okay. We'll start over. All right. Good evening. Again, my apologies. The phone was muted. I was already in prayer, so I didn't realize that. My apologies. But as I said, good evening. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the wisdom of God's word and knowledge. I'm going to open up in a prayer again, just because the power of prayer changes things. So, Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, mercy, and grace. We thank you that we can come boldly to the throne, Father God, to be able to give you the word, Father God, give the people the word, Father God, of what you provide for us. For we know your word, Father God, is life unto us, and we want to move in that life that you've given us. We want to operate, Father God, in the truth, the life, and the way, because we know you are the way. We thank you, Father God, as I get ready to deliver the word. Let me decrease and let you increase, Father God, that the people under my voice, Father God, will hear the message that is needed, Father God, for not just for myself, but for them as well. We thank you, Father God, for we know that with you all things are possible, and we believe in the possibility of you. We praise you, we honor you. We say it in Jesus' name, amen. Again, I'd like to welcome you to the show. And today we're going to talk about moving in the spirit of faith. The question is, are you moved by your faith or governed by your sight? For faith is an action word. We must do something. We must take action to see faith go forward. Dr. Martin Luther King says that faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. The word in James 1:6 says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. But because the one who doubts is like the waves in the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. And in Hebrews 11:6 it says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone that comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Again, we have to do something. We have to believe and we have to seek him in order to see him be able to move those mountains that come our way. Because surely we're going to run into obstacles, challenges, walls, mountains, things that will try to prevent us from operating in the faith that God wants us to have. And a lot of times, as I said earlier, we're operating, or should say, we're governed by what we see. But faith is not based on that. And we'll elaborate a little more later. But I'm going to tell you about how my family took faith into our own hands and moved on it. So my daughter, who was prematurely born at 5 months, she came to the world 13 ounces. So the doctor said that she probably wouldn't make the night. And unfortunately, her mom was recovering, trying to make the adjustments from the complications. So he was talking to me alone. And in the process, I listened to him as he gave his medical expertise and presented what he thought would be the outcome. Well, I looked him straight in the eye and I said, well, she'll be here tomorrow. Well, in the process of time, she made it a week. And the doctor still returned to say, well, she probably won't make it out of the hospital. And at that time, her mother was with me, and he told us that, well, you know, you don't have to take her home. You can leave her. We will take, you know, all the legal procedures to make sure that everything's done well, and you can leave her here. And I said, is that what people do when the child doesn't come the way they want? They operate like it's a catalog, and they send them back? Well, we don't operate that way, or she's going to go home. Well, she stayed in the hospital for, it's been a minute, so I would say maybe a month, maybe a little more, because she needed to gain weight before she could be released. Well, she gained enough weight, I mean, barely, just to be able to be released. Well, on the way out, the doctor continued to say, well, don't have high expectations. She probably won't make it. And so we went forward. And true enough, she had a lot of medical complications, even to lose her sight, to have some multiple surgeries in the process, all before she was five. Well, she made it her fifth year, and I saw the doctor just in the hallway during the hospital a visit. And actually, he was leaving, and I explained to him, I said, well, you know, my daughter, who you said wouldn't make it, is now 5 years old, and she's going strong. Well, he said, I've seen a lot of women, and this is no discrediting to females, but he said, I've seen a lot of women have faith that their child would be fine, but I've never seen a man have this much faith. I said, well, God said I only need the faith the size of a mustard seed, so I figure I had enough to believe that she would leave this hospital and that she would be fine. Well, throughout the course of her life, she's had multiple surgeries, and many doctors have counted out the last surgery she had. The doctor just wanted to put her in hospice and, as she said, make her comfortable because she wasn't going to make it. Well, I think she was about 20 at that time. Well, this year, we celebrated her 26th birthday, and I got to do the father-daughter dance at her prom as she graduated from her program, and also saw her to get her cap like a high school graduation. If I hadn't listened to the doctors and given in and didn't take that action, my daughter, at least I believe, may not have made it, but me and her mom maintained the faith that was necessary. So the moral of the story is never let the lack of someone else's faith be greater than the faith you have in your God. So again, I ask the question, are you moved by faith or governed by your sight? Many of us have been conditioned to be governed by our sight. We call our reality based on what we see. But God looks at it from a different perspective. See, God wants us to have confidence even when we can't see it, to be able to say unto the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in our heart. God wants us to have that faith that moves mountains. But however, there are various levels of faith. There's that natural faith, where we believe in our body is going to operate in its normal routine, our heart is going to beat, our lungs are going to breathe, and every other aspect of this human existence will sustain itself without us having to do anything. Then there's that human faith, if you will, where we have confidence that if I loan someone some money, the probability is that they're going to pay me back. What is that based on? Usually based on patterns, character, how people conduct themselves. We have a faith that they're going to do what they say. Yet we still are operating out of faith because we don't have any evidence to prove that 2 weeks when they say they're going to return the money, that they may do that. But we still operate out of faith. And a lot of times people say, I hear people say, I don't have any faith, but they don't realize they operate out of faith every day. I've seen people according to their riches and their fame, and they make comments such as, you know, I believe I was going to accomplish this. I knew this when I was young, or I just kept doing what I needed to do to reach the goals I was trying to reach. They were operating out of faith. Now, we who say that we believe in our Father up in heaven, and we believe in Christ, and we believe in the Holy Spirit, should operate out of even more faith. But sometimes it becomes questionable. However, there's that scripture faith. This is the God type of faith. We're talking about that faith that we believe from the heart. And there is a difference when we believe from the heart based on and compared to what we see in front of us, that natural human faith from our physical senses. The scripture says again, now faith in Hebrew 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Moffat's translation says, now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for and convinced of what we do not see will come to pass. I understand that that's kind of hard to grasp, a concept of believing for something you don't see, but it will come to pass. But that's what faith is all about, believing that these things will manifest in our lives when we put it out there. Jesus didn't hesitate to do that. There were people out there who operated from the biblical times. David operated when he went up against Goliath. He believed in God that he would take the head of Goliath. Even though he was small in stature, Goliath looked like the mountain. But David didn't waver. Saul wavered. His troops wavered. His own brothers wavered. But David never wavered. He wasn't going to be tossed to and fro from the wind. He believed that God was going to give him the victory. Samson operated from the same level. Even though he had fell short, each time he believed the strength that God had given him and what his mother had instilled in him and what he was able to be able to do, he would follow through. And even when he fell short into sin, he believed in God for one last bit of strength, and he was blind. He couldn't see it, but yet he was able to knock the pillars down to destroy the enemy. Abraham operated out of faith. He packed up and left everything behind. Well, he didn't leave Lot. That was one mistake, I guess, if you will. But he didn't leave Lot. He left his family behind. He left everyone behind. But he moved forward anyway, operating out of faith, not knowing where he's really going. He believed when God said, look at all the stars, that I'm going to make you the father of many nations, more than the stars you can see. And when he told him that you would have a son, he believed that God would give him a son. He questioned, this is the humanness of us. And he even decided him and his wife to operate from another level and try from their human level. Operate, as I say, governed by their sight. Well, I'm old. My wife is old. How could this happen? But again, operating in faith. I still believe that Abraham had the faith. And yet God proved to Abraham that this would be so. And even more so, Abraham operated out of faith from his heart when he was willing to sacrifice his own son, Isaac, because he believed God would raise him back up. Again, things that we see or we're governed by our sight or what we come conditioned to believe through habits and conditioning and training and all the things that convince us to believe that something can't happen unless we can tangibly touch it. Abraham didn't operate from that level. He operated the ideal that he had the capacity through God that all things will come to pass for the good. And so therefore, he became the father of many nations. So let's talk about some working principles. Kenneth Copeland has five principles, and I'm going to talk about a couple of them today, and then we'll pick it back up next week to wrap it up. But the first principle that he talks about is faith-filled life taking action. As I said before, faith is an action word. You have to do something. You have to step out. Living a life of faith requires more than just lip service. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, I got faith. But soon as the challenges come, they waver. They shake. Peter has. He stepped out there and said, Jesus, is that you? And he stepped out. The initial part of his heart stepped out into the water. He was walking on the water, but he looked. He let his sight govern his actions, and he wavered. But again, still having faith, Jesus reached down and saved him. So again, it's taking action. It means that a person listens to the Holy Spirit and obeys what he has instructed him to do. So if the Holy Spirit directs him to minister in someone in a special way, that faith-filled person does it. He doesn't hesitate. I was at a conference not too long ago, and an individual asked me to pray. I didn't know anybody in that place but him. And he looked over at me and he said, Brother Dave, would you pray? Now, I didn't go there for that, but when the Spirit tells you to move, you have to move. We have to know that the Spirit is going to lead us to do the right thing. And this is what faith is about. It's inside the heart. And it's not this the physiological part of our heart beating, boom, boom, boom. It is more about the Spirit. And we know that God looks into the heart for everything. So we have to build upon that faith, operating from the inside out, not the outside in. Then secondly, the faith-filled life focuses on the Word. If you want to live by faith, you must focus on the Word. As I said in previous episodes, if you will, of my presentations, talking about develop thyself so you can love thyself, you have to develop yourself in the Word. You have to study it. Now, a lot of times when we tell people to study the Word, they think they have to sit down and they have to read one book after another. No, sometimes just studying the Scripture. I heard T.D.J. say that sometimes he just reads the Scripture and he sits there. And he meditates on it, and he meditates on it, and he meditates on it, and he meditates on it until the Spirit begins to move and give him the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding, and the discernment of what he needs to do with just that Scripture. I was telling someone to study, for example, one book, Proverbs. It fortunately gives us 31 chapters. we would get so much knowledge and wisdom to prepare ourselves to be able to operate in the level that God wants us to do things. For the Bible isn't a list of do's and don'ts. It is a manual for life. For the word says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between the joint and the marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desire. Therefore, a person makes time to study, develops this strength, this ability, this confidence. Again, of something you can't see, to believe. Oh, I know people do this all the time, because when they go into the doctor's office and the doctor say, well, unfortunately, you have hypertension, so therefore we're going to give you this medication. And if you take this medication regularly and according to our prescription, this should decrease your blood pressure. Now, I used to run medical units, so therefore we'd have pharmaceutical companies send out their representatives, and they would come and they would tell us about the medication. And they say 50% off the top of the medication does nothing, absolutely nothing. 30% of the medication probably would do what we said it would do, and 20% is the luck of the draw. So basically getting 70% of absolutely nothing. But we believe, we operate our faith because man says it, but man is not our creator. Man hasn't created anything. He just redesigned, reshaped, and reformed. Just like the medication. He took it from something that God has created, and then he calls it XYZ. And we take that and we operate out of faith that what they give us will do what it says. And in a lot of cases, in most cases, it probably does. That gives us that confidence. But if we look back on what God has been doing for us from the time we were born to present day, I am 61 years old, and I know God has never left me or forsaken me. He has always been there, but it's always hard because we've been conditioned to be governed by what we see. And so therefore, not taking the word in early on in my life, I missed out on a lot of the blessings. Yet still, I had little faith because most of us, we usually end up going to church when we're kids with our parents. They take us on Sunday. We just went through the ritual because most kids go there just to play or to play with their friends or because their parents say go. But we didn't realize that we were already being seasoned for God's word to take action in our lives. The seeds were being planted. They were being activated, and they were being cultivated by the minister, by our family, by the people that we're exposed to. And fortunate enough, a great deal of us will continue at some point to seek out God's word, even if it's not when we're in trouble. And if those seeds have been cultivated enough, they'll take root. I'm reminded of the faith that the father had when he released his son, the prodigal son story. He didn't question the son. He didn't challenge the son. He didn't debate with the son. Don't go, son. No, you can stay in my basement. He didn't do that. He didn't say, well, son, you know, the world is bad out there. You shouldn't go out there. He didn't do that. Oh, I'm afraid something's going to happen to you. He didn't do that. He gave his son his inheritance. He had faith that what he had put in his son would soon come back. So the son goes out, if we know the story, he goes out and he does like most of us do. We finally get released. We get to do our thing. We're 18. We don't have to go to church. We don't have to do anything. Our parents are saying, we get to do our thing. Well, we're out there like the prodigal son. We're spending our money. We're entertaining. We think we got friends. But when our money runs out, our friends runs out. And then we look up and we recognize that we're standing alone. And then like most of us, we're calling out to God. So the prodigal son is in the pigsty, him being Jewish, that would be a terrible place to be. But he recognized something, because see, the seed was planted, and it was being cultivated. And again, a seed, again, is something that we can't see grow under the ground. But eventually, sooner or later, it will bloom its head, and it will manifest the fruits. And this young man saw, I'm assuming he's fairly young, he saw that he was in a bad place, but he had something in him, and he had enough faith to believe that if he returned home based on the patterns and the habits and the things he had seen through the condition of his lifestyle, that he would return home, he knew the servants lived better than where he was at. He said, I'm not going to go back as a son who would be a joint heir. I'm going to go back as a servant because I believe, just that little faith left, that my father would take me in, at least at that. But when he returned home, like the good father that we have, like God who looks out for us, who opens his arms and receives us, he killed the fattest calf, gave him the beautiful ring, and put the best robe on, and he said, son, welcome home. That son now had taken the action to operate in faith. He had to do something. He had to believe. Maybe the conditions wasn't going to be what he thought it would be when he left. Maybe his father may not, but he operated out of faith to return home. So faith is about taking action. Are we moved? And again, are we moved? Are we moved? Are we moved by our faith, or are we governed by our sight? I'm reminded of various people that stepped out in faith in a more modern time during the civil rights movement. It looked like Martin Luther King and the rest of the following Christians wasn't going to be able to stop the bus line abuse that they were doing during the time of civil rights. But, oh, they moved them governors. I'm reminded of the time when they told Rosa Parks she had to go to the back of the bus and she wasn't willing to do it. She operated out of faith, even though it's other side stories, but she held on to that little mustard seed. And she became a historical figure. I knew there were many people talking that someday there will be an African-American president. And we saw this. My grandfather used to always say to me, under many moons come many changes. You just got to hold on and believe. Well, we have seen a lot of things happen. There was a time when we just had a horse and buggy. Now we can get from New York to Chicago in no time flat because we had planes. Somebody believed. Somebody had enough faith. A little bit of human faith, but I believe they operate out of that scripture faith as well. Then it says, the third principle is the faith-filled life rises above the senses. A person of faith experiences situations or circumstances that screams sometimes controversy to the word. It's always oppositional, and we already know that opposition is going to come. It's going to always come. There's always going to be something. You say, if I just get through this moment, I'll be all right. But as soon as you get to that moment, there's going to be another moment that rises that challenges you. This is life. Life is nothing but problems and solutions that varies in degrees. And sometimes when we have problems, we give in, we buckle, we get frustrated, we give up. Because we say, well, God must not be there. I don't have enough faith. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to do. This life looks hopeless. But we have to be like Paul. We have to believe whether we're in good or we're in bad. We have to hold on because we have to know that in the word where it says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, that God's grace is sufficient for us. So even when he didn't move the thorn or the, if you will, the pain from Paul's flesh, at the end of the day, Paul knew that he still could go forward and God's grace was sufficient because he operated out of that faith. He believed that God would still do what he said because God said in his word, he is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He doesn't change. Man may change, but God never changed. He continues to follow through on his word. When he made his covenant with Abraham, he didn't break it. He made sure, and he even made sure that we would know that he would be there. With Noah, he made a rainbow to ensure, I will maintain my word. So this is what we can hold on to when we're operating out of faith. We cannot be governed by sight. We have to be moved by the faith that God gives us. And he says all we need is the size of a mustard seed. And since we were created in his image, we're like him. And even when our times come, we don't feel so well, questioning. Jesus himself questioned. He said, Lord, if this cup can pass and the God is defending me, let it be. But he stopped and he said with the next breath, but if it be thy will, this is what we have to operate under God's will, under God's plan. And this is, I believe, is a process. It's a lifelong process. It's not something that we just get it and boom, we're there and it happens and we got it overnight. We don't have to worry anymore. No, we're going to always be challenged. And as we look at the characters of the Bible of old, each one of them was challenged in many ways. And some of their circumstances didn't look so good. And some of the outcomes didn't look so good, but yet they were able to maintain. So again, we're going to pick this up next week, and we're going to talk about the last principles, and then we're going to present some working tools to develop our faith. Because I said before, we have to know thyself, develop thyself in order to love thyself to help someone else. No battery can give a jump without its own charge. And that charge is that faith that God gave us. It is innate in us, and we must believe this. So I thank you for giving me an opportunity to present the word of God. And I thank you that you believe that God's word is true. That is what we should focus on. Not the presenter, but the word. For the word will help us to be victorious in our life. So I praise God for you taking the time to listen. I praise God for being a tool to be used. I like to tell people, if you're not being used, you're not operating on purpose. For if you don't do anything, you can't accomplish anything. Again, we got to be moved by our faith and not governed by our sight. Again, I'm your host, David, and I thank you for coming to the Spirit of a Soldier. You have a blessed day.